Welcome to the Healthy Celiac Podcast. I'm your host, Belinda from belindawheelan.com, and here you will learn to live your very best life with celiac disease. Now, we are going to be talking all about health-related topics because you, my friend, are more than just a woman with celiac disease. Welcome to the show. All right, so welcome to episode one. So this is for you if you have just been diagnosed with celiac disease. No doubt you have been online and searching and looking for answers and trying to, you know, work out how you're going to navigate this new way of life. So I want to make it really simple for you and give you some tips straight up. Basically, this is a journey and this is going to take you a little bit of time to work out how you're going to live your best life as somebody with celiac disease. So it's not all doom and gloom. It's not, you know, as bad as probably what you are thinking it is right now. And it definitely gets easier. So if you've just been diagnosed with celiac disease and you have been told that you're going to have an endoscopy or a colonoscopy, then I want you to know that you need to stay eating gluten for the time being. Unfortunately, many people get told when they get diagnosed with celiac disease that they need to cut out gluten, but they get told this before they have their, you know, their appointment to get the scope done. And what that means is sometimes you won't get an accurate reading. So you actually need to keep consuming gluten. So if you have been told to cut out gluten, I urge you to jump on the phone to your gastroenterologist and just double check that that's what they want you to do, because I'm pretty sure your doctor or your, you know, main primary caregiver has given you the wrong information. It happens so often. So yeah, I recommend that you jump on the phone, make that phone call and just check, because I don't want you to be going gluten-free for say 6 weeks, 8 weeks, and then you have your appointment and they turn around and tell you that, yeah, you were supposed to eat gluten, because you are not going to want to go back on gluten for another 6 to 8 weeks for another check. You just will feel so much worse. It's actually harder to cut out the gluten, go back on it, than it is to just stay on it for a little bit longer. So yeah, just make sure that that's what's happening. Some people don't even actually have to have the scope anymore. There are some countries that aren't even doing that. They're just going with the blood test. So everyone will be different, but let's just roll with that. And if you have been given your 100% diagnosis and you are good to go with eating gluten-free, then, you know, that's your opportunity to start healing and to start feeling better. So that's good news. When I look back to when I got diagnosed, I was so relieved. Oh my goodness. I was, as silly as this sounds, I was actually happy to get my diagnosis. I was actually, I wouldn't say over the moon, because my GP, he had actually said to me, this was after seeing about five or six doctors up to this point, but my GP actually said to me prior to my diagnosis, he said, I think you've either got Crohn's disease or celiac disease. And let's hope it's celiac disease, because that's much easier to deal with than what Crohn's is. So when I did get my diagnosis, there was that little bit of relief, because he'd kind of built it up that, you know, that was the better, you know, one of the two options. So yeah, but when I did get diagnosed, I was told, yep, you just need to cut out gluten and that's it. Basically, you have to live gluten-free for the rest of your life, and there's no cure for this, and that's the only way to kind of deal with it. And that's all the information I was given. Now, this was over a decade ago, and I did have to go and see a gastroenterologist, and lo and behold, same thing. I had actually cut out gluten, so it was a nightmare to have to go back on the gluten, and I bawled my eyes out and refused to do it. And I was basically told, well, you know what, your blood levels are that high. It's confirmed that you're definitely celiac. And yeah, I didn't go through with it then, but I did have an endoscopy and a colonoscopy early last year, because some gluten was sneaking into my diet, and my GP or my primary caregiver just wanted to make sure that there wasn't any sort of, you know, damage going on. And yeah, it was fine. So if you have to have the scope, please don't be scared. It's nothing to be scared of. It doesn't hurt. You don't feel anything. There's nothing afterwards. You know, you don't have any pain or anything afterwards. Well, I didn't. I hope no one suffers from that. But I honestly wouldn't have even known. It was actually a chance to grab some sleep. I got two little kids and a teenager. You know, I'm going to take every opportunity to grab some sleep. So yeah, I got put under and yeah, it was fine. So anyway, so let's go with your cutting out gluten. So what does that mean? So have you looked at where gluten is? Have you been given some information? You might have been told to go see a dietitian or a nutritionist. If you haven't seen them yet, let's keep it really simple. So you need to cut out wheat, oats, barley, and rye. Now, even if you are in a country other than Australia, I still recommend you cut out oats. So here in Australia, we have really, really strict rules with what is allowed to be classed as gluten-free. Now, nothing in Australia can be called gluten-free if it has oats in it, even if those oats are what some countries call uncontaminated oats or gluten-free oats. We cannot have any labelling on our oats here in Australia that they're uncontaminated, or, well, they can be called uncontaminated rather, but they cannot have gluten-free written on them, because the Australian Celiac Society teaches us that there is no safe oats that we can consume. And here in Australia, if you have celiac disease and you want to eat oats, you actually need to do an oats challenge. So that's something, if you've just found out you've got celiac disease, you could talk to your GP or your primary caregiver about doing that, so that you don't have to go and, you know, try and do that later. That's something I never did. I was never told about that or given that opportunity. But I think in the early days, if I had been given the opportunity to do an oats challenge, then I would have absolutely done it. There are so many recipes that call for having oats in them, and that it would just make life so much easier to be able to bake with oats and, you know, have them in simple treats and things like that. So yeah, if you get the opportunity to do an oats challenge, by all means do it. But you know, if you're in another country where they say that oats are fine and oats are safe and all the rest of it, a lot of people with celiac disease still react to oats and they can be doing damage. So, you know, I hear from so many women in America that do struggle with oats, but because they're told they're safe and they're gluten-free, then they think it's okay. So it's about learning as well what is safe for your body. But yeah, in the beginning, definitely worth cutting out oats along with the wheat, the barley, and the rye. So you might be thinking, well, yeah, that's easy. You know, I don't eat that much bread, or I don't eat that much, you know, baked goods or whatever. But unfortunately, when you start to look, there are so many foods where these ingredients are hidden. Even things that you wouldn't even think of: ice cream, chocolates, gravies, sauces. So there's so many different places. Even, you know, bacon can have wheat in it. They actually inject a wheat liquid into a lot of bacon. So it's about learning where you're going to find these ingredients. It's about reading labels, and it's about being very, very conscious of what you're consuming, and even to the point of cross-contamination. So I really want you to learn as much as you can about cutting out these ingredients and looking for where they are hiding in your food. So there's a lot of mistakes that people make as well when it comes to first going gluten-free, and even years on. You know, I talk to people all the time about having celiac disease, and, you know, they're still struggling, and There's so many mistakes that, you know, we can very, very easily make. So I've actually put together a little free ebook called 11 Mistakes People Make Living Gluten-Free. And I'll pop a link below to that so you can go ahead and grab yourself a copy of that. And just make sure that moving forward, you don't make these mistakes, because if you can ensure that you're not making those mistakes, you're going to be, you know, well on your way to feeling much better, much sooner. Now, another thing that we don't also get told by our doctors or our gastroenterologists is many people that get diagnosed with celiac disease have so much damage done to their villi, which is in your small intestine, that you have what's called secondary lactose intolerance. So when I first got diagnosed, I felt rubbish for so long, and I still felt like that I was getting, you know, the same sort of symptoms and side effects from eating gluten. But I knew that I'd cut it out, so I couldn't work out what was going on. Well, anyway, it turned out that it was actually this lactose intolerance, because my body was so damaged. So every time I would eat something that was a dairy product, it was just going straight through me, and it was just making me feel horrible. So now what I do is I teach my clients to cut out the dairy, okay, just until your body heals. Dairy is actually, you know, something that we do react to when our body is, you know, highly inflamed, and it is extra inflammatory. So, you know, if you cut it out just till your body is feeling better and then slowly reintroduce it back in, you should feel a lot better, a lot quicker. Okay. Now, the next thing I think is highly recommended is to go through your pantry and go through all your food and just learn what it is that you've already got in your house that you can eat, because you might be surprised. A lot of the food that you've already got at home is probably already naturally gluten-free, or, you know, by ingredient, it could be gluten-free. So we don't have to just purchase things that are labeled gluten-free. It's pretty cool, right? So, you know, it is expensive to buy gluten-free food. And, you know, I shouldn't say I've never, because I have complained, but I don't think that we really need to complain all the time about food being more expensive because it's labeled gluten-free, because I think we are very lucky that there are companies that are quite happy to provide these foods for us and ensure that their manufacturing processes are safe for us. So in a way, I guess it makes me more grateful that there is so much more available now than what there was even 10 years ago. So, you know, we do have to be grateful for those products that, you know, we can just grab and go, and we know that they're safe. But then there's other foods that aren't labeled gluten-free, but they are by ingredient, which means that doesn't say gluten-free on the label, but when you go through the ingredients, it doesn't say any of the gluten-containing ingredients. So we can actually consume those if there's no may contain statement. Now, in my course, Ultimate Celiac System, I actually go through labeling very thoroughly and teach you completely how to read a label so that you can 100% safely go out, go shopping, and ensure that you know what you're buying is safe for you. So I will also pop a link to that below. It's definitely worth checking out. This is perfect for you if you've just been diagnosed with celiac disease. It's very thorough, and it's got everything that you will need to know to absolutely thrive living with celiac disease. It's basically the course that I wish that I could have gone through when I first got diagnosed. So, yeah, I've covered everything that I think anyone that's been diagnosed with celiac disease needs to know from day one. So, yeah, check that out. I'll pop the link below for you. All right, so that's a really good start for you. If you have any questions, please send me a DM on Instagram. I'll pop a link below to my Instagram as well. I share lots of great content on there, and snippets of recipes that you can find on my blog, and, you know, lots of info and lots of, you know, little tidbits that can help you on your journey. So I hope this little intro has helped you. And like I said, send me a any questions that you've got, because I love hearing from my followers and fellow celiacs. So please reach out to me if there's anything further that you want to know. And next week, I'm going to be making another podcast for you to share even further. So this is the first of a little bit of a series for those of you that have just been diagnosed with celiac disease. So I look forward to sharing more with you next week and helping you along your journey. Thanks so much for tuning in. Bye. If you enjoyed this episode, head to belindawheeland.com to get yourself a free copy of my exclusive ebook, 11 Mistakes People Make Going Gluten-Free Living with Celiac Disease.